let's be real. Lawsuits are no fun, but with Paulson and Nace, at least, they are a little easier. With two DC-born partners, Paulson and Nace will fight for you the way only a Washingtonian could. Paulson and Nace handles medical malpractice, wrongful death, and other complex injury cases involving negligence. So if you have been hurt or lost a loved one because of someone else's mistake or negligence, call Paulson and Nace for a no-obligation consultation. Visit www.paulsonandnace.com or call 202-463-1999.
Today on CityCast DC, Ted Leonsis, who owns the Capitals and the Wizards, is giving us some major whiplash. He's had an abrupt change of heart about moving DC's sports teams to Virginia, and the teams will be staying right here in DC. The Washington Post's Candace Buckner thinks the billionaire is going to have to put in some major work to make Washingtonians love him again and to protect his long-term legacy locally. Today's Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Bridget Todd, and here's what DC is talking about. Candace, I am so glad that I get to talk to you about this today because your pieces about Ted Leonsis have been pretty scathing, but also hilarious.
I don't know. That should be like a good thing that I'd be patting myself on the back because I don't know. Some of the situation is ridiculous, but also it was a serious matter for these 3 months. The possibility of losing some major teams. I'm originally from St. Louis, and I was just telling people there's no way that St. Louis should have more teams in its core than Washington.
What makes you say that?
This is a major metropolitan city with world-class museums, world-class culture, a diaspora of races here in the city, not just the DMV, but here in the city. That sort of city should have the entertainment, should have the culture, the ballet, the plays, and also the sports. That's a core to a community. So I do judge a city as a sports reporter. I do judge a city, like, do they have the four major sports? It reflects the population. It reflects the diversity. And if you don't have all four, you're not a major city.
You called Leonsis a visionary turned villain. Do you see his legacy as forever marred by this move to try to move the teams out of DC and change that legacy of DC as a major city as reflected by these sports teams?
I would say now it's first line, not to be morbid, but it's first line in an obituary.
Damn.
Right now, thankfully, he has lived on. And that's the thing about life. It always changes. But if you would have asked this question in 2019, the first line would have been Ted Leonsis, owner of... it would have been Capitals first and then Wizards, and who brought the city's first Stanley Cup. That would have been the first line. Now, what is the first thing you think of Ted Leonsis? He tried to move his teams to the suburbs. Maybe he'll, be crossing the street one day and save us a cute little kitten getting run over. And we can say, Ted Leonsis, savior of kittens.
He can only hope to get that level of good PR.
But we'll never know. As life continues, we'll never know. And his story will keep evolving.
I have to admit, I did not know who he was before December, before this conversation about moving the teams. For people like me who don't follow sports, what do you see as the general perception of him before all of this?
So I came here to Washington to cover the Washington Wizards. And so I didn't know much about him, of course. And all I knew was okay, the Wizards have these cool, young, exciting players in Bradley Beal and John Wall, and they're on the rise. But I think for Wizards fans, he was seen as being way too patient with that regime and the leadership that was controlling the Wizards. And that was Ernie Grunfeld, the president and general manager of operations. But to the Cavs fans, the Caps were way more successful. And of course, he also owned that hockey team. They were way more successful. So I think to Caps fans, he was probably like a very good offensive lineman. You don't talk about good offensive linemen because they do their job. You don't notice them. And so to Caps fans, I'm sure he had a much better reputation. And then when they won, it was, almost built a statue of him he had that great cachet with the general public because they had finally broken through. But also, I also think, and I came to learn that the whole visionary thing, this man has such huge plans and such huge ideals for what his teams can be. And sometimes it is laughable, somewhat reaching the public, but he was almost like living in like la la land with this ideal for what he thought his team was.
So I'm curious, do you think that he'll be able to win Washingtonians back? Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm getting down on him, but I can imagine that a lot of people, a lot of the fans, a lot of the folks in the city are like, he is dead to us. And I wonder, can he win those folks back?
I don't know. I'm not a native Washingtonian. Now I claim it because I live in the city, pay the taxes, hit all those potholes, get caught by all those red light cameras.
You're so one of
I'm one of y'all. I don't know. Can he win them back? Maybe. This is me shrugging. I don't know. Just, you do need, like, as you said, like that kind of otherworldly type of good PR to happen. But winning does heal. So in my column, I said, we should forgive, never forget, but we should forgive and move forward. But healing is like that balm that can make you forget. Like, oh, you tried to take the teams to Potomac Yard. We don't care. Now we have an NBA championship. That may be in 2050 by the time the lease is up. Who knows? Maybe the Caps can rise up in the next few years and say, hey, all's well. All's forgiven. All's forgiven, Ted.
It's time to get dressed up, DC. So Others Might Eat is having its Young Professionals Network Spring Soiree. That's to help raise funds for homelessness in DC. The gala is on the evening of May 17th at the National Museum of Women in the Arts. There will be live music from DJ Heat from the Washington Wizards, photo booths, food, and even a special appearance by a former actor from Pretty Little Liars. Wow. There will also be a canned food drive, so be sure to bring a few cans to support Some's Food Pantry. Grab tickets before they're gone at some.org/springsoiree. That's some.org/springsoiree. See you there.
I think in a lot of ways, his complaints about the Chinatown area maybe are complaints that, like, other people listening have made too. Like, crime, obviously. We get a lot of emails from listeners about people who are upset about buskers and noise in that part of the city. Do you think that this move was a way of kind of, like, making his money talk after years of feeling like the concerns that he was raising about the area were ignored?
I talked to fans who have said the same thing. I talked to one fan who called it obnoxious noise. Stop. It's culture. Grow up. Anywho, but his money talking, I hope for the community, for the neighborhood, that the money talks for the good, that, you know, the crime that has happened and kind of the deterioration that has happened around that neighborhood. Now, I remember a post story about the Walgreens right there on H and 7th and just the shoplifting. It may seem like, oh, it's just shoplifting. But if that closes and then the next place over is like, well, you know, our workers are being harassed, so we got to close. We got to move. Big cities can't have just places looking like a ghost town, whether it's the shops or the neighborhood itself. Big cities can't have that. I mean, that's not functional. We're not asking for a utopian society. But we just need more of a presence and not police officers, you know, with looking like they're ready to riot or anything like that. But we need more of a law enforcement presence, and we need more of a deterrence.
Yeah, we covered that story about that specific Walgreens. We'll put the episode in the show notes, but like it ended up being this kind of wild inside job situation where the manager was allegedly in on it and helping to carry out the robberies. Like,
wow.
I see what you mean of like, people have to feel like they can like go about their business, use public transportation, have the normal parts of the things that you need to do to have your life make sense, to do that safely. And if you don't have that, you have a problem. And like, I think we're really aligned on that, that like people have to feel like they can just engage and enjoy downtown areas in the city and do so safely.
If DC is to survive and have a growing, blossoming, burgeoning, thriving downtown, people have to feel, the perception is so powerful. They have to feel safe.
So in an older piece, you talked about the propaganda that Monumental Sports was sort of putting out to sell the Virginia deal. You said it was TV evangelism. What did you, tell me about that. Like, what did you mean by that?
Okay, so Bridget, it was hilarious. I just didn't want to be like, you know, the one that's like, yeah, I'm hilarious.
It genuinely was hilarious. You can own that.
I think sometimes, even when people read the Washington Post, so, you know, my company, which I, you know, I will cape for, that they are smart consumers of media. And they know when they're reading a perspective, which is that person's opinion versus something that should be straight news. And I hope when they see commercials like Monumental Opportunity, that the general public, they're smart enough to know that this is a spin job. Mm. And you don't need to spin so hard if, A, the situation was good. It was a monumental opportunity for Alexandria, for Virginia. And if it wasn't in trouble, the deal was in trouble. That's why, you know, you have PR people and your team pitching this idea of, okay, let's tell our own story. No, that you create your own facts. And some of those facts they had to erase because they were false. They were facts.
Yeah, I remember when we were covering it, people were talking about it like it was a done deal. Like the general consensus is that like this is done, it's inked, case closed. Why do you think that was? How did that come to be the party line of this deal? Is it the propaganda piece that you were referencing before?
I think it goes back to that December news conference in that big circus tent where Governor Glenn Youngkin, the mayor of Alexandria, JBG representatives, and that was the construction company. It was a party. It was a party atmosphere. I remember one woman choking up in tears.
Oh my God.
Saying, we got this. I know.
Are you kidding me?
That's why. I mean, I'm so curious. And if I ever get a one-on-one with Ted, I would ask him why have that announcement in such a public way before the Virginia General Assembly could like weigh in on it. You might have had it on paper with the governor, but it wasn't the governor's decision. So I'm so curious why they made such a big deal out of it. And I think that's why people thought, hey, it's got to happen.
From reading your writing, it seems like you have a lot of reverence for Senator L. Louise Lucas, the Virginia lawmaker who really torpedoed this plan. What are your thoughts on her?
As you didn't know Leonsis until December, I didn't know Senator Lucas until she started posting the memes and photoshops of her as the one woman roadblock. You know, who knows truly what the real reason why she wanted to stop it, whether she truly thought like this is not good for Virginia because of the bond that could tax the citizens. Or she was just being like, you know what, Glenn? Don't like how you're talking about the Democrats.
Let me flex real quick.
Rejected.
Yeah, rejected.
I love petty politics when it plays out for the good. I love it. She made it almost like grab your popcorn and just sit back and watch how this plan spectacularly fails. So I am so impressed that she really wanted to be the face and she stood up to say, no, this is not going to happen.
What about Bowser? Like, how much credit do you think that she deserves in all this, keeping the teams in DC? And do you think this is going to be like something that people remember about her legacy?
There's so many other important issues happening in the city. I would hope that we fairly judge Mayor and her tenure with the issues that the Washingtonians may care about more. But to her credit and the council's credit, they heard about the backdoor dealings that Leonsis was having in Virginia, and they stepped up their plans to keep the teams here. So it would have been bad had you lost two teams in the of the city's core, and only the Nationals of the four major teams remained in Washington. But kudos for her. She and her administration stuck with it. They even made, you know, threats like, you're not getting out of this lease, and put water under the bridge to work again with them, because I'm sure there were some personal feelings that both sides probably didn't care much about each other. That relationship, when I first got here, it was, we're in it together. And I right. think that relationship just was irreparable. However, it wasn't. So kudos to Bowser for that.
You called March 27th's deal a day to celebrate for the city. What do you see as this meeting for the future of D.C., but specifically like downtown D.C.?
I hope now we already surpassed the 4-year anniversary of COVID. So 4 years after, I am hoping that with the D.C. has a lot more to offer than these teams, right? But specifically for the Chinatown, Gallery Place neighborhood, now we put more focus into, okay, what does this neighborhood need to improve, to get back to maybe pre-pandemic numbers, to get back to businesses that are open along that stretch that's right around the arena, so many closures. So how can we get that back thriving? And that helps with people having jobs as well. How do we make that safe? And I hope there's just more of an intentional plan for that neighborhood, because the neighborhood is so important to the downtown, to the city core. So that's what I'm hoping in the future. Yeah, it's a win for DC, because it's more than just the Wizards staying there. It's more than just the Caps staying there, which is big, but what comes along with those game nights, and that's people, and that's the economy boost, as an economy driver. So what can we do as a city? What can that city do? What can a city do to keep Chinatown and Gallery Place thriving?
Candace, thank you so much for being here. This has been a delight. I love your writing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a great conversation. Appreciate it.
That's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with even more news from around the city. Talk to you then.